This is Greg Olson, here to tell you about my new podcast, TE1. On the show, I had a chance to talk to my fellow tight ends who have revolutionized the position from an extra lineman to a dual threat superstar. And just like my guests have changed the game, this year, NFLSundayTicket.tv is revolutionizing your NFL viewing experience. Stream all the live out-of-market NFL games every Sunday on your favorite devices and never miss a moment from your favorite players. Visit NFLSundayTicket.tv and use the promo code Greg88 at checkout and get 15% off your subscription. That's NFLSundayTicket.tv and the promo code Greg88. Subscribe to TE1 and get NFLSundayTicket.tv, an unmatched dual threat.
What's up, everybody, and welcome in to the Prediction Esports podcast.
What's up, everybody, and welcome in to the Prediction Esports podcast. I forgot to mute the Twitch page, so there's going to be a bit of an echo for 2 seconds.
I almost nailed it this time, Barra. I remembered to record. I unmuted. I swapped my stuff, and then I forgot to mute the stream. So that's a little bit unlucky, but that's okay.
You almost got it. You're an amateur. I feel like eventually you'll get it.
Right. Once I learn how to host from you a little bit more. It'll be better. Are you happy to be on the right side of the screen again?
It's a little weird. I feel like I'm less in control, and I feel like I'm just being operated on. You know, like I'm at the doctor's office, and like they're just asking me all these questions, and it's a little uncomfortable.
Oh,
I feel like I was really good at it.
I would agree with that.
That's fine.
You're pretty good at it. But you're also pretty good. You're pretty good at being operated on as well. You know, you've had some practice in that seat, so I don't want to take that credit away from you. Go ahead.
Just an expert at everything.
Yeah, very, very, very true. So since I'm the doctor in this analogy and you are the patient, all right, I'm done with this analogy already. I'm not.
It's a little weird.
I'm done. I'm done with that for sure. Let's talk about the big news. Okay, or Barra could just get up and walk away. Oh, he turned the light on.
Sitting in the dark like a drug lord.
Well, we can't be having that. I mean, we cannot be having that. Big news out of the Renegades camp this week, of course, was the was your guys' move to bench solo or troll and bring in your coach Ro to play solo lane. Figured this would be a good spot. I mean, I know that Ro released a statement, that kind of stuff, but we get to kind of chill and talk about it a little bit more long form. Talk to me about how this type of decision comes about. How does this happen?
It's a very hard decision to make, and a very hard one to just talk about as well, because I think in Smite, it's seen as terrible. Whereas in other esports, you can just sub out a player no problem.
Yep. Happens in League of Legends all the time.
Exactly. And I feel like in Smite, people are like freaking out. Oh no, like how could you ever do that? It's a week. You have a double header. Like, if we lose those games, we lose those games. Sot's mental and our team's mental as a whole is way more important than two games, especially in a phase this long. And it was like I said, it was a hard call to make. And I was the one that initially brought it up during the team talk. And I still don't know if it was correct or not, but I feel like it was necessary with the point that we were at, which in Sot's Twitter post, he kind of went over everything and went into detail about everything with his mental being really kind of down the gutter and making it a bad work environment because his mental was just defeated. And it's really hard to play when a player on a team doesn't have confidence. And especially a frontliner, I think it's easier as a backliner to have confidence, but as a frontliner, once you're in, you're in.
Right.
And you are sticking with that decision that you made. Whether it's go in, whether it's blink in, whether it's like zone, your job in a team fight is much more impactful than a backliner's, in my opinion.
Yep.
And when someone doesn't have confidence, it affects every part of their gameplay. And yeah, I just think people need to see that as a break for SOT and kind of a mental reset for him.
Sure. Yeah, I think it's a good point to bring up other esports. It isn't as common in Smite, but like League of Legends, which is definitely the closest comparison, MOBA to MOBA, giving players breaks and that kind of stuff is, you know, they're forced breaks, don't get me wrong, but they are much more common for sure. And I think that's a good way to view it. I think, you know, it's a little bit easier for me to talk about my perspective because it's a little bit less, you know, fresh and not current. But from the perspective of like making a roster change or talking about that kind of stuff with your team, we on Xbox, it was the Wild West. I mean, teams were making roster changes week in and week out. And our team, unfortunately, wasn't that much of an exception. We would usually make a change like every single phase, which was definitely not good, but those conversations are hard, dude. I mean, even, you know, that was before, you know, you're living with your teammates and that kind of stuff. You know, we're just practicing together. But even the guys that you don't, like, get along with that well, sometimes it's hard to make that call because, you know, they aren't, you're breaking up with your teammate more or less, right? That's kind of what's happening. So, those are never easy. I can remember one time in particular. I don't know if there's a story I should be telling, but I'm going to tell it anyways because I've already started. Uzi was on and off our team 1,000 times, it felt like, during our Elevate days and the Soar days and all that kind of stuff. And I remember one time he just lost confidence entirely. That's exactly what it was. And it totally affected his play. And he played a lot worse to the point where we were like, Uzi, if you like, we don't want to put more pressure on you, but like, you've got to start doing the good stuff, or else we're going to need to like find someone who will. We eventually did. And he was like, he wasn't even mad at us. He was like, yeah, I totally understand. I've been sucking recently. Like, I don't know. He took like a Smite break, came back, was owning. And then we picked him up again because he was owning again. And he was like, yeah, I don't know. I just needed a break. And that was it. And like, that was the end of that. So it's very fun. I can totally empathize with having a solo laner who loses confidence and then gets it back. So hopefully it'll be the happy ending of him getting his confidence back.
That's what I'm hoping. And yeah, I think it's just sometimes you just need a break, man.
Yep.
Like, especially in pro anything where you're just being judged constantly and you need to bring your all to practice as well as competitive, and then you still feel like you're being judged by friends, by fans, by literally everyone watching Smite. And then when you stream, people can still talk about all your mistakes and everything you've done. There is a lot of mental weight on pro players' shoulders, especially for him. Like, he has a decently sized stream. There's a lot of weight, and he's young.
Yep.
So all of those factors together, it is just very stressful. And like I said, I was the one that brought it up because I felt like it was the right call to make because he just seemed very overwhelmed. Mm. And you just need a break sometimes. And like I said, it was during the doubleheader, which I don't really care about if we win or lose those games. I mean, obviously, we played like dog. So even having solo in, I think we still would have lost with how the other four of us played. Like,
I'd agree with that.
Ro did as good as he can. That's all we can ask.
Right.
The rest of us, the four of us that are on the roster, played terribly. Absolutely terribly. So many individual mistakes, so many map mistakes, so many everything. And yeah, that was probably like the worst week we've ever played. Just everything was bad. I don't know. Okay, it was really weird for me in the Sanguine set. I've never had this before, but I felt like I couldn't think during it. Like, straight up, I could not think.
Was it like that episode of SpongeBob where Squidward tells him to forget everything but fine dining and his name, or everything but fine dining, and then he like tries to think of his name, and the little tiny SpongeBobs in his brain are like looking for his name, and they're like, we threw out his name. Like, was it like that? You were like, okay, how do I play these team fights? And you're like, I threw out the team fighting. Like, what happened?
It was so weird. Like, my brain, I was just staring at my screen, completely going through the motions.
Yeah.
And it felt absolutely terrible because in the PK set, I was very communicative. I was lifting spirits. I felt like I was doing a great job And for whatever reason this week, I was just like, someone just subbed in Barabot. They made a bot that looks just like me and said, you're playing whatever gods I played in the Sanguine set, like Jing and something else. I remember playing Jing. And they're just like, all right, you're here to play these games. Good luck. You're not supposed to talk. You're just here. And it was terrible. I've never had focus problems like that before.
Interesting.
And I think it's just, I think it was stress related because I have a lot going on. Smite and then outside of Smite. So I think it all kind of compounded into just brain decay.
Yeah.
And just,
I'm sure it's not like, it's not a coincidence that it's the weeks where you know that you have to like super hard pop off in order to win.
Mm-hmm.
Cause you have Ro on the other side of the map. And again, no disrespect, but like,
of course, yeah.
He's a coach, so you know there's more pressure on you. I'm sure it's not a coincidence that you guys struggled the most, mm-hmm. where you felt like you guys had the most pressure on you. But I think the mentality of this phase is hella long, because it is definitely the right direction to go. What was I going to say? I think I had a bad joke that I wanted to say, and I really don't want to miss out on those, because I know that's what everyone watches or listens to the podcast for. Oh, yeah. If you figure out what happened to Barabot, I'm sure there are some fish tank members out there who would pay real good money to have that Barabot sent to their place. That's all I'm saying. You know, your portable Barracuda, bring them everywhere with you. That's a future revenue stream for you.
That's not where I thought that joke was going.
Oh, okay. Well,
I thought you were just taking that an R-rated way, and I was like, okay,
me?
I am not
R-rated, me, John. You dirty dog, not me. This is a PG podcast here, okay? Not what I was thinking whatsoever. Man, I can't do anything with this guy. I'll tell you what. There was one other thing I wanted to say that I've also forgotten, but I'm glad I remembered that horrible joke.
Both of our brains are just top tier this week.
They're just off, dude. This week in the SPL was so short. Every game, every set was a sweep. Saturday, I believe, is like the shortest we could ever have an SPL day go. We were done before 6 o'clock. And then today, with the postponement of the Radiant set, it was a one set day, so my brain's been off for much longer than I thought it would have to be this week.
Wait, am I allowed to ask about that? Did you guys make an announcement or what happened
with that? No, it's only the announcement that that we put out in the Smite Pro tweet. And that's all. That's all that we have said.
Okay,
let me pull it up.
I looked, but I couldn't find anything, and I was like, I feel like, because I joined the stream a little bit late. I think they were like already in the picks and bans of like the first game, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if I missed like an announcement, or I just saw like, oh yeah, the second set is like postponed.
Wow, you should be hosting again. What?
Bro,
why not?
My noggin is working top tier today.
Yeah, it just says SPL update: due to unforeseen circumstances, we will be rescheduling the Knights versus Radiance match originally slated for this Sunday. And that's all the information that is
there. Cyclone tweeted about it.
Yeah, if Cyclone tweeted about it, then Cyclone can talk about it, but is not anything that I can really expand upon.
That's fair.
I'll say. But I wanted to take some time because, you know, we've been pretty pretty focused on SPL and that kind of stuff. I wanted to zoom out a little bit because our podcast here is the Backliners, and mm-hmm. I want to talk about some things that frontliners do that really make me mad, things I hate about being frontliners. Number one, if you're a frontliner and you come to my lane, and we're talking supports here, if you're a support and you come to my lane and you, and let's say that's like it's a Hera on the enemy team, and you watch the Hera walk up to my melee creeps and won the whole wave, and you just stand there, we're fighting instantly. I hate you. If you're going to be, you have to earn the wave that you're there for. Step up, stand near their minions, be a jerk, make space for me. That is like one of my number one pet peeves. I hate it. If me and my support are both sitting underneath our tower, like arms crossed when it's just the enemy mid laner in there, I'm mad, dude. I'm mad already. I hate that.
Vince has the exact same thing, and he hates supports that come mid and just, use an ability on the wave and then turn around and go away.
Yes, dude. I don't need your help to clear. I don't need that. That's not what I need.
You watched your mid laner full clear for the last 3 minutes, and then you're just like, what if I Faf Hammer this?
Oh, and especially Faf Hammer, dude. Especially Faf Hammer. And that ability, that's like his only good fight ability, and you're using it on the wave. I don't understand. Especially when you're Fafnir, you can just two the mage, and you'll get the credit even if you rotate. I don't understand. It just makes me mad. What are some... go for it.
My thing is, when Sobeks don't do the angle plucks, and they don't walk at someone and force them into a direction, they'll just go for a max range pluck.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like...
Well, that's max right there.
Why? Why? You can literally just walk at him. The fear of the pluck is better than whatever you just did. Unless you're like the best swipe plucker in the world, going for max range plucks is so stupid.
It's Sunday, 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 and they're coming back to the NFL with NFL Sunday Ticket.tv. You can stream every live out-of-market NFL game every Sunday afternoon on your favorite devices, plus Red Zone and DirecTV Fantasy Zone channels. Never miss your favorite teams or favorite players. No matter where you live, NFL Sunday Ticket.tv is your key to the most glorious Sundays ever. Use the promo code BLUEWIRE at checkout to get 15% off your subscription. Visit NFL Sunday Ticket.tv and use promo code BLUEWIRE. And also, guys, you've counted on restaurants. Now they're counting on you. And while their dining rooms may be closed, they're still open for delivery with DoorDash. DoorDash is the app that brings you the food you're craving right to your door, and ordering is easy. Open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and your food will be left safely outside your door with a new contactless delivery drop-off setting. We use DoorDash at the office all the time to get lunch from people like Chipotle, Wendy's, and hundreds of other options. Many of your favorite local restaurants are still open for delivery, too. Just open the DoorDash app, select your favorite local spot, and your food is on its way. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off with zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and use code BLUEWIRE. That's $5 off and your zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter code BLUEWIRE. Don't forget, that's code BLUEWIRE for $5 off your first order with DoorDash.
Okay, who's the best Sobek plucker in the SPL?
Okay.
Not the best Sobek, but the Sobek plucker.
Do solos count as the only supports?
No, either one is fine.
I think variety Sobek is top notch.
Yeah, that's it. That's a top tier Sobek player.
I would also say Jake before the Obese set. Jake takes so much pride in his Sobek. He talks about the number of plucks that he misses after each scrim and after each. So there was a scrim where he was like, I missed one Sobek pluck that entire game. Six in the Obey set, which for Jake, who never misses buttons, or when he does, it is very rare. You know something's going wrong when that man misses that much.
Yeah.
And yeah, so back to what I hate.
Yeah,
Macro Choix pluckers. And
wait, we can stay on Sobek, because Sobek is a good one for me to rant on for a minute. Sobek, when I think of the times where I'm having the least fun in Smite, it's when the enemy support is the same level as me. As soon as that happens, I don't want to play the game anymore. I really don't. I am down to F6 any game where the enemy support is the same level as me outside of level 20. That is the only time it's okay. And Sobek is the main offender of... If he's the same level as me, what is the point of me playing, dude? What's the point? Because he's going to do more damage than me. And he's going to have a ton of CC. And... you can't kill him no matter what you do. I hate it. I hate it here. Whenever that happens.
And when you're getting melee ranged by a Sobek and you're just hovering your beads and he finally plucks you and you're like, do I need to? Because I haven't turned around in like 3 seconds because he's been melee ranging me. So do I really need to? And then you're like, oop, boosh beads, and you're just flying through the air.
Yep.
Nice. I love that. And you're just, and he solos you because his ult does 300 damage base. Or something like that, which is really cool. And, yeah.
Wait, did you say his ult does 300 damage base?
Yeah, it's something like that, right? It's for like a trillion.
You think 300 damage is a lot?
Yeah, rank 1.
Oh, it is way more than that at rank 1.
What?
I'll bet. Here, I'm going to look it up right now.
No way, it's higher than that at rank 1.
Dude, it is, that ability is OP, man.
You're telling me it's higher
350 plus 80% at level at rank one. Oh, by the way, he also gets 20% protections, regenerates mana, CC immune, and a 20% slow the whole time.
Real talk, why does he regenerate mana?
Because he for a while, was pretty mana hungry. I think his mana costs have gotten buffed. It's important for solo lane.
It's so, like, 2013. Like, it was just thrown on there, and it was just, okay.
Mr. White like Dude forever. In chat says he's sucking up the water. That's why he gets mana. That is actually so funny. That's actually the funniest thing. Right. I think that's the funniest chat message I've ever read. Just in general, he's sucking up the water. Well, there you have it, dude. We figured it out. Now we know why Sobek gets mana back. It's lore accurate.
Also, why does he have 80% scaling?
Dude, that's the thing.
Why?
Do you know what? Do you want to know the one of the worst nerfs I've ever pitched in my whole life to the balance team? Those poor people who listen to my horrible suggestions all the time. One of the biggest things that frustrates me about Sobek is that he'll pluck me, I'll beads, he'll three me, he'll two me, and then he'll alt. Okay. Mm-hmm. So then I'm slowed for 5 seconds. I've got to time my Aegis on the Sobek ult. And then
real quick.
And then
no, people got way better at exploding their Sobek ult, so you can't Aegis them. And it's really annoying.
What do you mean? They'll just like pop it
early.
Yeah, they'll pop it early, right. But all his cooldowns are back up as soon as he's out of there. So then I get plucked and two'd and three'd again. And all that damage adds up to my whole health bar. So I was like, why don't we just stop his cooldowns while he's underneath the water? He's too busy drinking water to get his cooldowns back. And they said that no ability in Smite works like that, and it would be a really bad idea. And I said, that's fair, but I want it anyways.
That's really not a bad idea.
That's what I'm saying, dude. It's OP. Because all of his, like, the cooldowns are 13, 14, and 13, but he's always got full CDR. The ult lasts 5 seconds, so he's got 2 seconds of downtime that he probably used it 2 seconds before that. Like, there it is. That's just what it is. Okay, this is not meant to be a Sobek exclusive rant. what are some other things that frontliners, either supports or solo laners, do that annoys you, whether they're on your team or on the enemy team?
Amaterasu in SPL.
Yeah, you kind of got
1300 to me.
Yeah, you kind of got one shot.
What was that?
That's Ama, dude.
1300
out of register ult, or was that the full combo?
2, 3 and ult.
Okay,
it was like 730, 350, 350.
Yeah.
Yep.
Can't get hit by those. I don't know what to tell you, dude. Yeah, I don't know. Ama pretty good.
Actually insane, man, that god can do that much damage with Berserker Shield.
Mm-hmm. Was that his only damage item?
I don't know. It's probably like the hybrid, like Berserker Shield Shoguns, and then like hybrid.
Maybe a Sledge or something like that.
But dude, I had Aegis and ult, and I wanted to like steroid in, use my steroid, ult across, and then I literally like won myself dash and die.
Did you not have beads up? You got silence, so you could... Well, okay, you definitely could have Aegis something there, right?
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. I knocked myself up and then got one-tapped. Like, he silenced so I couldn't Aegis, then two'd me. And then I died.
Yeah, but then what about his ult damage?
Okay, I was one-ing and auto-attacking. Dude, I didn't think I was going to die, man. Okay? It did 1,300
to me, your ult?
Man.
What about your ult?
I told you my brain was off this weekend. Okay?
I was one-ing and auto-attacking, dude.
I'm very busy, okay? It's really not much counterplay. I only had Aegis and ult, and he killed me.
And Yarkor probably didn't even ask if you were going to be busy either. He just went in there.
Okay, I don't even know if the end call was correct, but I'm pretty sure the correct call is just kill Yarkor and then try to end. But we all
How
in the
long
time
is the respawn internet. Timer? I don't think you ever end in that spot.
I think it was 14 right when we killed Phoenix.
Yeah, I don't think you ever end in that spot, personally.
Yeah, Jake was very confident in that call, and I was like, you know what? Brains off. Let's do it. Like,
yep.
I
get in there. Hey,
and then I got literally one tap.
Like, and you, And you got to, if your teammate is like adamant about something, you got to get in there. Like, yep, you've got to follow it, because you just don't want to, you know, you just got to trust them every once in a while. And sometimes it just doesn't work out.
Jake also loves the risky calls where you have to play them like perfectly to make them work. And when he was calling for it, I'm pretty sure that there was like two people in comms that were like, eh, and then Jake was like, no, we could do it, we can do it. And then I mean, we probably could have done it if I played it like 1% better. If I found my Aegis or my 4 key.
That would have been good.
One of those, I'm pretty sure we could have ended. But I was already a little weak from the Fire Giant fight before, so I'm not sure.
Yeah, no, that was a tough call for sure. Oh, I wanted to ask you, before we keep complaining about frontliners, the current Hunter build that everyone is going now, everyone seems to have moved away from crit and is going the Ninja Tabi, Devo Gloves, Chin Size, and then every bow except for Ikaval. But now we're starting to see some Ikaval. I know Netruoid built it, has been building it third in that third slot. What are your thoughts on the current Hunter builds and whether or not you like that Ikaval in there?
I love Ikaval. I have always loved Ikaval. I think it's very underbought, especially against, against gods like Amy, where you're just going to be boxing around a fight most of the time. I think you get a lot of value, and a lot of people don't see the value there, but I am a big fan of Ikaval. I don't really like the Kin Size third. My team has raged at me a lot about that. I just feel like it's bad there. Like, the spike takes forever to get. You're sitting with Balance Blade or whatever for like a year and a half, and then I'm finishing Kin Size. But if we fight any time in that 1450 gold, it feels terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just a bigger fan of like Atalanta's Bow, or I haven't tried the Ikaval Star yet, or Ikaval third, but I'll try it soon.
2450 for Ikaval, 2700 for Chin Size. Dude, what I would give to have my important items only be 2700 gold. It must be nice, Barra.
What are you talking about, dude?
I'm saying,
you literally have Divine Ruin, the most OP anti-heal item in the game.
It's fine. It's a good item.
Yeah,
it's good.
Good. Yeah. Yeah.
It's good, but it needs to be good. That's the way it's got to be. Yeah, I don't know. I think the Chin's third, like from a math perspective, doesn't seem that efficient to me, but I think the argument of it's not mega efficient, but by four items you really want Atalanta's, Chin's, Devo's, and Boots, and that's why you wouldn't go Ikaval in that spot. And then once you're past that first four items, the value you get out of Odysseus Bow and Silver Branch is just more than you would get out of Ikaval. Like, Ikaval is in a vacuum is a better third item than Atalanta's or Chin Size. But
there is so much power on Ikaval.
Yeah, there's so much power, but Atalanta's gives you the attack speed. Well, I guess you get attack speed from Ikaval, but you get the pen from Atalanta's, and you get the passive from Chin's. And it's like, I think it's just more, to me, from a logic standpoint, like, the curve is weird, but your end product is a lot better.
With Ikaval third as well, you're always feeling confident in the 1v1, which is kind of a big mental thing with you and the other ADC. Like, especially because he's doing it a lot on Jing. So if he steroids, like if he knocks himself dashes in, you are not winning that trade on like anyone.
Right.
Like Ikaval Jing Wei will just put you in the dirt in like 2 seconds.
Right.
Also, as Manowar said, I do like Atalanta's third. That's my favorite that I've found so far. Just because the Kin spike just feels so ugly. Like, it just feels so long.
Yeah.
Unless it's like a Sledge, Stone of Gaia, Soul Winner, or they have like a Cthulhu on the enemy team where you're always getting value, or even like against Hercules, who build like 3.5k health, you're not going to auto attack them enough with Kin size to get a lot of value out of it. Like, I've watched players try to do that. I think it happened this past weekend against, I think it was PBM, who literally built 3 health items in Thebes and then literally race card around and was untouchable. Like, you can't do anything to him.
Yeah, you just don't get a chance to hit him often enough.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that makes sense. I don't know. I think, like, Ikaval is a better... Yeah, I don't know. I'm just kind of stuck on this Ikaval being a better third item in a vacuum, but by the time you get to your 5 items, like, do you really want to delay Chins until 5th or your 20% pen item until 5th? Like, in comparison, Ikaval is 2450, 30% attack speed, 30 power. Now, of course, you get the passive on as well, but you get 30% attack speed, 25 power from Atalanta's plus the 20% pen. So I feel like Atalanta's kind of almost isn't that much worse, but I guess the passive's pretty good on Ekaval.
Wait, Atalanta's 25 power on it?
Yep.
What? For some reason, I thought it was like 35.
Nope. 25.
That's kind of low power.
It is. It is. It's definitely a low power. That's why I don't think it's great third. And like you're not getting that much value out of 20% pen. But yeah, I don't know. Just interesting. Interesting in that. All right, back to what we hate about frontliners. Speaking of PBM and zooming around and being untouchable, Hercules is just OP, right? Like if you're gonna land your 2/1, like that character is just nuts.
Yep.
I don't know what you're supposed to do against that god.
Or level 1 when he just starts at your purple buff and blinks on you. That happened to me SPL where he literally just blinked on me. I was soul and I'm like, I can't fight him.
Nope.
Like, also, real quick, soul sucks. Okay? That is a trash character.
Uh-huh.
Just trash character. When anti-heal is meta, when thorns is meta, and when you do literally zero damage because your passive sucks, trash character. Okay. I was on board with Soul, like, when they released Hecate. But after, like, three games of Ravana blink three-ing me and then ulting me, I'm like, nice. Great. Okay, back to...
All right, so wait, hold on, chat. What else did we all learn, like, a month ago that Barra might not know? Because clearly he is roughly 4 to 5 weeks behind on learning things. Okay, what has happened... So August, we're already near the end, but it's going to get hot. Okay. So be ready for that. It is going to be hot. You're going to need to be ready for that. Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, we've kind of been knowing that character bad, Barra. I know you love her, but
her passive just sucks. She needs a better passive. Her one sucks. Her two sucks. Her three sucks. Her ult's the only good thing about her kit, but it's so unreliable. Like, people literally just walk away from it as you're spraying in the ground.
Yep.
Trash character. Sorry.
Even when you Barra combo, dude, that's the messed up thing.
That's what I'm saying, dude. You literally just do nothing. Like,
I want to take soul. I want to take power out of her auto attacks, and I want to put it in the two. The two feels so bad, but it needs to feel bad because her autos, when she does get her passive up, are good. But until you do, they're bad. But I don't know. It's kind of weird. I wish Soul was more like a traditional mage so I could play her better. That's what I'm saying.
I think her 2 should just be faster.
It used to be really fast, right? I think they nerfed that time.
Yeah, it needs to be faster. Also, why does her 2 hit minions one time sometimes?
Like when you put them right on, when you put it right on top of them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How? That literally doesn't make sense. It goes out and goes in. Like, it's a wave.
Yeah.
The 2 is just terrible. You should go into your 3 form faster. Your 1 is just a trash ability all around because it's just for your passive, basically, and for healing. She's literally only good at, like, level 1. Even then, if they draft, like, a Hercules, you really can't do anything.
Yeah, you're not out trading Hercules. You know what's OP about Hercules is his auto chain and how much power he gets and how hard his auto attacks hit. It's just that his auto attacks hit so hard, dude. He just slams.
How good would he be without Shield of Regrowth?
He'd be a lot worse, for sure.
What number would you give him now? What number would you give him after Regrowth is killed?
Okay, so if you are like, let's talk like Mike Aurora level Hercules. That's obviously a 10, right?
Yeah.
Without regrowth.
On game day.
Right, right. On game day. Without regrowth, I think Herc goes to like an 8. Maybe a...
That's not much.
Maybe a 7. Maybe a 7. I don't think it's the... Because so much of the work that Herc puts in is like pre-3 items anyways. So I don't think it would make that, but it would make him scale into the late game way, way worse. It's really what makes him like able to be played in full 5-on-5s.
I just wish they would nerf his passive.
Yeah, his passive real good.
He should just not be able to out trade me level one, which is like my biggest.
Crazy? How much damage his ult does? Do you want to get without looking, Barra? How much damage will a level 20 Herc Boulder do?
You mean like the number?
Yeah. Don't worry about protections or anything. I'm just like, do you know the base damage on this ability? I would say
800 plus 80%.
You're very, very close. I'm impressed. 800 plus 100%.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Woo! No, I'm giving you credit. That's good. That's a lot. That's a lot of damage, dude. I mean, I get it. It's a big boulder. Like, it should hurt, but like... That thing swang.
75 cooldown?
It is a 70-second cooldown. It goes down each rank.
Oh.
70 seconds.
Nice.
Yeah.
Is almost 75 the whole time?
Let's look. We're just going to do a frontliner ult quiz. Dude, I'm losing my mind about Dazzling Offensive before we nerfed it. It is 75 all the time.
That's really cool.
I'm ult, by the way. If you get hit with all three, 936 plus 150% scaling on that.
I could have told you that one. I felt it.
Yeah, you knew the exact numbers, dude. You knew the exact numbers. Go ahead.
42-second cooldown with 40% CDR. 42.
That's not
bad. So she literally ulted in that fight. We went to end the game. Her ult's back up.
Yep. Of course they are.
That's so cool, man.
It is good. I just here's what I think should happen to frontliners. Supports should be level capped. They shouldn't be allowed to be a higher level. Like, the two supports should be required to be the lowest levels in the whole game. You shouldn't be allowed to go below them. If they get too close, they just stop gaining experience. Thoughts?
That's not a bad idea. Or it turns into like Heroes of the Storm, where like their experience just goes to the carries, or like it just gets spread around the whole team.
Mm. That's a good way to do it. Like Guardian's Blessing, it's just like a percentage of your XP goes to your teammates. That way, you're feeling good about it. You know, you're contributing that way.
I was gonna ask, how do you think Smite would do with Heroes of the Storm experience?
It would be worse for sure.
Really?
It would be worse. Yeah.
Heroes
of the Storm.
I don't like it.
It is a fun game. I do like it, but there's a reason in my mind that it is less fun in a competitive setting and less interesting, because like part of what makes MOBAs interesting is that you have a finite number of resources, and it's your job to figure out how you want to distribute them among your team. And watching teams like Sanguine like intentionally put Panatom behind so that Shinto can get ahead because he's their win condition, like that's a cool playstyle thing that would get completely lost by doing something like that.
Cool.
That is cool. Come on. That is cool.
That's not the word I would use when he's level 15 and I'm 11.
Hey, man. Okay. I'm just saying they do make some sacrifices to make that happen. You know? Like, it's a choice.
Okay. I'm getting off topic. Well, mainly I'm getting off topic.
That's fine.
Cthulhu, okay?
Okay.
Why is that a character?
We're going existential on this one, huh?
Just when he was released, that man literally, I mean, he still kind of one-shots you, but he just destroys you. He pops thorns and then walks at you.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't out-trade him for 5 seconds because of thorns.
Yeah.
What am I supposed to do as a backliner?
Run away.
For 5 seconds?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know how long 5 seconds is in a team fight?
Feels like a long time, yeah.
It is a very long time.
Yeah, it's most of it.
I cannot play the game.
Yeah, it's most of it.
That's a whole team fight right there. And sure, I can't hit him.
Yeah.
Also, why can other hunters hit into thorns and not die, but when I hit into thorns, I literally take 300% extra damage for whatever reason? I literally watch pro ADCs hit into thorns, and they don't die. And then I hit into thorns, and I die in 4 auto attacks.
Do you want the real answer or the fake answer?
Real answer.
I think it's probably because the real answer is it's probably because their team is also hitting them at the same time and they're breaking the thorns threshold and then the thorns are going away. That would be my guess.
So you're saying my team is not hitting them and I'm taking everything.
Correct. Yeah. That's what would be my guess. My fake answer is that much like Zapman, something about having played Smite for this long has warped your brain as an ADC to just see whoever you want to hit and hit them regardless. Like, the amount of times I watch Steve hit someone with thorns on stream and then go, "Thorns are so OP, man," where Steve's sitting there, left click, left click, left click, left click. He could have walked by him 10 minutes ago, but no, man, he's hitting those thorns. It's to the point now where whenever I am streaming or I'm playing ranked and I'm hitting someone with thorns, I go, "I'm zap manning this guy," and then everyone knows what I'm doing. Like, that's how it gets across. I think that's just like built into you guys now.
Also, what sucks about frontliners is when you're a frontliner and literally just blink and presses thorns. Mm-hmm. What are you doing? That is the worst initiation I have ever seen. Make them want to hit you. Do not just blink and instantly press thorns, because their enemy team will just walk away from you.
Yeah, but what if Paul is on the other team and he hears the blink sound and he insta-hebo ults me to try and kill me instantly, and then I've already thorns them?
I don't think that is a realistic scenario, because Paul would never be ulting in at the start of a team fight through their frontliner.
Yeah, good point. That's definitely not happening.
Thank you.
No, thank you. No, sir. We're saving that ultimate to the very end. Yeah, I think the main thing, Bera, is that I wanted to talk about all the things that suck about frontliners as a way to keep myself from going to the dark side. And this is news to everyone. I'm considering switching my main role to support. Because I'm just sick of it, dude. I'm sick of the enemy Hercules gunning me down, the enemy Sobek being level 13 while I'm level 13, and I don't want to play. So, what if I'm just the Hercules, or I'm just the Sobek, and then they don't get to have fun, but I do? Thoughts?
We would have to change our podcast name.
No. We wouldn't need to.
What?
Because, look, I'm a backliner at heart, okay? I am.
You're literally cheating.
But right now, I feel like it's so easy to just play Hercules in support and just win games by yourself that, like, why wouldn't I?
I mean, you're not wrong.
Right?
But why? You can't just go to the dark side, man. Like, being a backliner, you have self-respect, okay?
That's true. That's a good argument.
As a frontliner, you literally have zero skill and just hold W, and if you hit one button, they die.
Okay, but how about this?
Okay.
When I die in a team fight, I go, man, I messed up. I lost us the game. I didn't do enough in that team fight. You know, I might have gotten double ulted, but I should have positioned around it better. I should have used my relics better, something like that. Mm-hmm. If I'm support and I die in a team fight and they used a single ability on me, I go, oh, well, we should be able to capitalize on that. They use Jibalanke dash and Jibalanke 2. They have no slow. What is my team doing? You know, I'm scot-free. No responsibility on me ever.
There is a lot of responsibility on you as a support. But in ranked, you can kind of get away with anything.
That's what I'm saying, dude. That's what I'm saying. Wait, Bera, maybe I queue up. I support you for a little bit. We see how the duo lane synergy is going on. Then we could be the duo laners. And we got to rebrand on our hands right away.
What's your elo at?
I think my main is at like 2750.
Man, I was gonna ask for your smurf, but
that's not happening.
Yeah.
Well, my stream smurf is that's in the dumpster, but that's because I had I literally started it fresh this split, so I just like it took. I got to like 2100, and then I'm just like not winning enough games to beat the low variance. But once the reset happens, I think we're gonna get that up to like 25, and then the next reset, we'll be up in the 29 area where I usually am.
Nice.
That's the game plan, at least.
Yeah, I lost a lot. So I was at like 32-30, and now I'm at like 31.
Okay.
40, I think. So
I've still got some variants to play with. So maybe I get on my main. I try hard a little bit. I don't get Bear on the enemy team, who realizes that this game is important to me, and he absolutely stomps my ADC. And we'll be in a good spot. You know, we can start it up.
When I'm picking Jing in ranked, I'm sweating.
Yeah, that was messed up, dude.
I literally never play that character. Scrim picks out, I literally never pick. I only play her in SPL. Literally only in SPL.
I think that is true for literally every pro ADC, from what I have heard.
Yep.
No one.
You don't need to practice Scrim. The character, man.
She plays herself.
It's very basic. It's like Alma.
Yep.
And probably Cthulhu now, but not Cthulhu earlier, because you still have to learn the god or whatever.
Sure.
But They're just very basic, low skill ceiling. Actually, low skill floor.
Skill floor is what you're looking for. Well, we can make it work for sure at some point. Look, I'm not saying I'm definitely moving to support. I'm just kicking it around. Maybe next week we kick around the idea a little bit more, you know?
I was about to say, maybe just flirt with it a little bit, you know? Yeah. Like slide in a few Hercules games, how you're feeling.
I'm checking my options, you know? Maybe right now I'm queued mid-jungle. Maybe I start queuing mid-support. And then maybe it's support mid, you know? Who knows? But that's for a later date. Getting close to the end here, so it's time for our random question of the week. And here is mine. I've thought of it. Chat had some good suggestions, but I didn't like any of them as much as my own suggestions. So get farmed. I had some ramen for dinner tonight and it was phenomenal. Okay. It was really, really good. Okay. And I was kind of thinking like, man, Japanese food just kind of slams, like rice buns, rice bowls, ramen. The way that they like do steak and that kind of stuff is really good. And then I was like, I don't know, man, Italian food's really good. You got like pasta, everything like that. Yeah. Sushi, says Tiga's. What is your favorite, what's your favorite like food nationality? You know, so it was Nika's birthday the other day. I recommended a bomb Italian restaurant that me and Joe love. And he was like, yeah, I don't know if everyone on my team was going to be feeling Italian. I don't know if they like Italian food. And I was like, what? First of all, that's exactly what I said. Secondly, who doesn't like Italian food? What?
Right.
It's pasta and pizza, man. Who's mad at that?
Which one is my favorite or which one would I eat forever?
Which one's your favorite? Because they can be two different questions. Also, yeah. I do feel comfortable saying this on stream because Nika said it to me on stream. He said vote. Okay, I'll say exactly what he said. Initially, he said vote doesn't like pizza. And then he said, well, I don't know if that's true, but he's just never had pizza since we've been here. And he never wants it. And he says it's because he doesn't like melted cheese. And I was like, bro, what is wrong with him? Like, what? How could you ever say? I have met one person in my whole life who doesn't like pizza that much, and it was for the exact same reason, is that he doesn't like melted cheese. But if he gets a pizza without cheese or like light cheese, he's good with it. And I thought that guy was an idiot, and now I think Vogue might be an idiot, dude. If that's the way, like, you just can't.
I've never heard someone complain about melted cheese.
Bro, okay. did you see that thing that Blugan tweeted a couple days, like a week or two ago, about plasma and how he likes his ice cream?
That was fake.
It was?
Yep, that was fake.
Oh, I should unblock plasma on Twitter. I still have him blocked from that. I blocked him, dude.
Yeah, it was like pizza dipped in like milk or something.
No. It was ice cream with raw onions.
Oh, that was from like a pregnancy craving tweet or something.
Okay.
I saw some girl trolling about that. Well, I think that was what started it.
All right. Well, then I will be unblocking him. But he's on thin ice.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but.
All right. So favorite food genre. Oh, you mean like the best possible? Like, if I had the best like taco or the best pasta in front of me, like which one would I take?
Yeah. Like, okay. You know how, I don't know if you and Destiny do this, but like all the time, Joe and I will be like, well, what are you in the mood for? Like, what would you say? What type of food are you most often in the mood for?
It's Mexican or pasta tied, but my favorite.
What genre are you in the mood for?
Would be American because of barbecue.
Okay.
I don't eat that much barbecue. But I would kill for some top tier barbecue. Like, you cannot touch top tier barbecue.
Bear, do you have like a favorite barbecue place?
I don't, because no one does it as good. Okay, that's going to sound really cringy, but no one does it as good as my family.
No, that's not cringy at all.
Well, it sounds really fake or whatever.
No, I believe it. You got a homemade recipe, then it's good.
Make some mouth-watering. Oh my goodness, dude. It's top tier barbecue, man.
So here's the deal. As you know, I'm not a big sauce guy. I don't like sauces as a general trend. Mm-hmm. And barbecue sauces are very often ketchup based, and I'm not a fan of ketchup flavor. I think it tastes bad. So I am not, I would not call myself a barbecue fan. I like barbecued meats, but I don't like the barbecue sauce usually that goes with them. But if ever given the opportunity, I am willing to try the salter sauce. If you will. the salter barbecue sauce.
Why did you say that?
What do you mean when you're talking about the barbecue
sauce? Don't say that, man.
Okay, that was going to fly if you didn't throw me under the bus.
What?
Instantly. Okay.
Don't try the salter sauce. Like, bro.
Okay. Okay.
I'll save it. What's your favorite food genre?
Yeah, thanks for hosting here.
You're welcome.
I think pizza is really OP. And pasta, I'm not like, we rarely cook pasta, but when I'm in the mood for some pasta or like get it at a good restaurant, I really love it. I think I'm going to say Italian, but I love Mexican food. Mexican food, I'd say, is probably one of my number one, like, oh, I'm in the mood for this. I would probably say probably Mexican. Everything okay over there?
Yeah, check the chat.
There's a lot of them, so I'm assuming I should just be reading all of these, but
no, the one from my mom.
Oh, your mom's in the chat. Oh yeah, unlucky. Listen, man, I think what I said was in bounds. It was you that took it over. Oh.
What?
We were talking about the barbecue sauce. That's what I clearly meant. Okay, I was talking about the family barbecue recipe, and that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Thanks everyone for watching the Prediction Esports or listening to the podcast. Make sure you guys are checking it out on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and the whole Prediction family. They've got a whole bunch of different podcasts about different esports that you should absolutely be checking out. We'll be back next Sunday with another PG podcast as per usual, and we'll see you then. Maybe we'll have a guest. I don't know. That's all I got. Thanks for watching, everyone. I've got nothing else. Bye. Bear a voice. Bye.
That's literally, I'm not goofy, bro.
Bye.
I hate you.
And one last word from our sponsors. Sports are coming back, and so are your chances to bet on your favorite teams and events. Major League Baseball back in action, and there's no better place to start wagering than our exclusive partners, BetOnline. Check out all the odds, futures, and props to bet on, all available 24/7. And with the return of sports, BetOnline sat down with former pro players Eddie George, Harold Reynolds, and 7-time NBA champ Robert Horry. See what they had to say on what it'll be like playing without fans in a series they're calling Fandemic. Visit betonline.ag for all your odds and up-to-date sports news. Remember to use promo code BLUEWIRE to receive your new welcome bonus. That's promo code BLUEWIRE, BetOnline, your online wagering experts.